Welcome back, everyone. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister. We are live from the Rouse's Market, 1030 South Acadia Road in Thibodaux. Nichols and LSU tomorrow at 6:30. Come on by and get all of your fixing for your tailgate, irrespective of what you're doing tomorrow for the game. Tulane's in the morning. You got LSU and Nichols at 6:30 from Baton Rouge for the first time ever. And, of course, Sunday at noon, it's the Panthers and the Saints kicking off the 2024 season, also the NFC South. Joining us now, former NFL running back, host of Believe in the Panthers podcast, Jonathan Stewart. Jonathan, Mike Hoss, as well as Deuce McAllister, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you guys doing?
I am good. Just, you know, kind of give us your thoughts. Carolina, you know, 2-15. Another year, new head coach Dave Canales came from Tampa, really revamped offensive line with, you know, spent about $150 million, got a couple of new guards and moved Corbett to center. Just, you know, what's the feeling there in Carolina about why this team will be better?
Yeah, it's a new era. You know, Dave Canales and Dan Morgan, they seem to have a really good, you know, chemistry going on. You know, their history of working together, I think, will pay off in the long run for the Carolina Panthers. I love the energy that Dave Canales has brought in thus far for training camp. You know, just seeing, you know, how he's able to meet guys where they are as a head coach is so valuable. You know, just being a player myself, just, you know, the difference maker it is when you have a coach that can actually see you where you are and can help you, you know, grow and be the best version of yourself that you can possibly be on and off the field. And it's good to know that we have a coach like him, you know, on our side. And then obviously having Dan Morgan, you know, he was a beast in his day, in his playing days, and knowing that he is at the forefront of making decisions as far as who's coming in here and putting on the helmet and being in that locker room, it's very, you know, it makes me at peace knowing that we're going to get some guys in here that love football, that love, you know, the process and understand what it takes to be great. And so, we'll, at the end of the day, we won't know until we know, right? And the first test will be against the Saints, and I'm excited to see what you guys put on display.
When you talk about just how they're building that program and some of the things that they've done, you look at the young quarterback last year, being able to get some weapons around him, being able to get some protection around him. What are some of the other things that you see that, you know, from an improvement standpoint, whether it's defense, whether it's, you know, hey, we need to add maybe a body or two here at this position. What are some of those things that you see? And it doesn't have to be short term, just long term focus, how they can continue to improve that roster.
Yeah, you know, I think, as you know, depth is so important. You know, we have an offensive line that's really good on paper, you know, at the starting position, right? And you can basically go across our whole roster and make a case for, you know, why depth needs to be a, you know, a major, you know, not a major concern, but, you know, it has room for improvement. I would say depth is important for the offensive line position because it's a long season. You know, guys are going to get injured. Guys are going to get nicks and bruises. So you got to make sure you have guys that, you know, are top tier, you know, in the sense of, you know, getting guys in there to keep this thing rolling, you know, once the season starts. And I love the additions that they've made at the offensive line spot. You know, got guys that can actually finish blocks. And, you know, when we're talking zone scheme, when we're talking gap scheme, getting guys on the ground and getting guys to move off their blocks and get to the second level is super huge for, you know, explosive plays. And once we're able to, you know, get that working for ourselves, then we can actually get this passing game working for ourselves. And it seems like that's what they're trying to emulate in the sense of, you know, what their identity is, you know, hard-nosed, tough football. And so the defensive side, you know, I think our defensive line for the most part is pretty solid. I think we need another pass rusher that can make us, you know, a complete unit. I think we need some depth, you know, to depth answers. I don't know whether we have that on the roster yet or not, but we just got Michael Jackson from the Seattle Seahawks. He's put up a great resume, so I'm excited to see him play. Our safeties are, you know, right there, you know, in the top 10, in my opinion, as far as, you know, the league goes. So I think, you know, from looking at how we were last year as a defensive unit, we were still able to make plays. Our running game, stopping the run game was an issue for us, but adding A'shaun Robinson is a really huge factor for us. You know, being able to have someone there and within those tackles to stop the run game would be huge, alongside Shy Tuttle. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's a work in progress, and there's going to be some learning, some growing pains this season. But as far as last year, I think we're light years ahead.
Jadeveon Clowney as well, right, defensively?
Oh, yeah, Jadeveon Clowney, you talk about a guy that might be a pass rusher effect, but he's really good in the run game. You know, he's proven last year in Baltimore to be a run stopper, which is huge for us as well.
And we talked about the blocking for Bryce Young's, you know, same situation, the running back situation. You know, Jonathan Brooks is hurt, but second-round draft pick. So they go out and they get Deontay Johnson. Migos in his second year. They draft Xavier Leggett. You still have Thielen. And then they go and bring in David Moore, who was with Canales in Tampa last year. So it's about protect. It feels like it's like, okay, Bryce, we're going to get you the protection, and we're going to get you some weapons, and then see where things fall out.
Yeah, like I think it's awesome that he has the weapons there for him to choose from. I think Dave Canales is the perfect marriage for Bryce Young, because he's a guy that's going to help him grow in areas that, you know, he might be deficient in. But also, he'll be able to just continue to stack on the confidence in the areas that he's really good in. So adding these weapons, guys like who you said, Deontay Johnson, being able to get into his routes and create separation, right? That's one of the things that we suffered from last year, is guys getting open. And so when you have Deontay Johnson, you have Adam Thielen, you have Xavier Leggett, you have Jonathan Mingo, you have this receiving core, and now you have a quarterback coach that's talking in the ear of Bryce Young, of saying things like, hey, let's get the ball out quicker, right? Let's help the offensive line gain confidence in pass protection. This can be a recipe for really good things, you know, this season, especially if they keep these guys healthy. So, again, like I was saying, the difference from last year to this year, in my opinion, it could be light years ahead, as long as they do the things that they're supposed to do.
Jonathan, what's the feeling around from a fan standpoint? You know, are you excited? Are you pumped up? You know, looking forward to the upcoming season, not just Sunday, but the upcoming season for the Carolina Panthers?
Yeah, dude. So I think at the end of the day, everyone is, you know, excited, but more realistic. And I think they're more realistic because they understand the direction. They understand the messaging. They understand the hope behind, you know, the organization right now. Before, I think it was kind of hard to find that, you know, with the coaching staffs before this time, and just kind of where things were, right? Whenever you break up a band, people are left in shambles of, like, wondering, you know, what's next and having questions. I mean, you've had the departures of Christian McCaffrey, Greg Olsen, Cam Newton, Thomas Davis. And so when you look at this from a fan standpoint, you're thinking to yourself, well, you just broke up a good thing, in my opinion. So what's next? So everybody's just been kind of, you know, like looking at the Carolina Panthers organization as this, you know, question mark of what's next. And I feel like right now we're starting to gain an understanding of what's next, because Dave Canales being transparent with his plans, Dan Morgan being transparent with what he wants, and just being able to just say direct of what he's looking for when it comes to building a football team, which is, simply put, I want dogs. So everything that they've been saying this off season has been, you know, really well written. And right now, we just got to go out and execute.
Well, we'll find out Sunday, noon in the Superdome. Jonathan Stewart, a former NFL running back, part of the Believe Panther podcast. Appreciate your time. Thanks for spending some time with us, and we'll be talking down the road.
No doubt. Thanks, man. You're a huge fan.
No doubt, my brother. You love watching you play, man.
Yeah, love watching you as well.
Stay safe. Same to you. Jonathan Stewart, Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We'll take a quick break. We are at the Rouses, 1030 South Acadia Road in Thibodaux. Nichols and LSU tomorrow night at 6:30. Come on by, say hello to Deuce, and pick up whatever you need for that tailgate tomorrow in whatever area you're going to be, whatever game you are watching. We're back after this. WWL, Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister on a special edition of Sports Talk. Welcome back. We are at the Rouses here in Thibodaux, 1030 South Acadia, as Nichols gets ready for LSU tomorrow night, 6:30. Just prime beef T-bone steak for $9.99 a pound. You only save $10 a pound. Come on by. You get your tailgate fixings ready for tomorrow for what is going to be a huge weekend. Not the best weather, but it is what it is. Saints on Sunday, LSU and Nichols, Tulane tomorrow, high school tonight. We're joined now by Shane Kleber, who's the director of Colonels Athletic Association, also a former player. Nichols, at 2001 to 2005, played defensive end, and quite frankly, looks like he could still play. Been talking to Deuce a little bit. So in 2001, when were the Saints here? That was 1999, 2000, somewhere? When was that year? I know you remember.
2001.
2001. So were you around during that time?
Yes, sir. We love the Saints being here. One of the benefits to us was they would leave a lot of stuff for us, whether it be equipment or cleats, or they kind of fixed the dorms up for us. So by the time we got in there, you know, we had the nice bedding and all that good stuff. The Saints would leave gloves and all the, you know, all the fixings.
And you got to see this man.
Yes, sir.
He got to see me go out and almost pass out is what it was, because I had an 11-day holdout until we were talking about it earlier. I think the first day that I got here, it was the day of the black and gold scrimmage. And so you come out on the field and you realize, man, I've been doing some stuff, but it's hot. And the humidity just hits you and makes you think about a little different about holding out. I'll put it that way. But definitely some great experiences here at Nichols, and you know, just looking at the growth that not only from Thibodeau's standpoint, but from Nichols' standpoint. Just talk a little bit about the programs and where you see the vision for this program and some of the energy that it has had over the last 4 or 5 years from a growth standpoint.
I mean, the growth's been incredible. 17 sports at Nichols, and when you look at the championships that we win in now, I mean, in football, you have 3 championships in the last 4 or 5 years. Basketball's competing for championships every year, girls and boys. Baseball just repeated, you know, 2 years in a row. We went to Corvallis and really put on a show up there, and it just showing folks that we belong. And that hadn't always been at Nichols. You know, we went through spurts where you had it in the 80s in football, and then back in the 90s, in the mid-90s with Darren Barbier's crew, and then Darryl Day and Jay Thomas in the early 2000s. And then now with Coach Rebo, it's been just 10 years of consistent winning, and that kind of rubs off on everybody, you know, no matter what sport.
Well, I've got to brag a little bit on the Manning Academy and just some of how it has showcased, and I don't want to say it, probably fast-track some of the growth just with the opportunity and then exposure, but just talk a little bit about how that has definitely helped with the growth of it, and you know, just bringing, opening some eyes of maybe some prospects that wouldn't just normally just come to Thibodaux, but just to be able to get them on campus as far as at Nichols. And then I know they have the big man camp here as well after the Manning Academy.
Yeah, it's been phenomenal. When you're looking at quarterbacks from around the country, just the top-level guys from college, I mean, there's nowhere else you would get that kind of training. And these kids sign up a year in advance. You got over 1,500 kids that come in, and your camp counselors are the best in the business. And these guys move on a year or two, and they're playing in the NFL. Somebody like a Dak Prescott that you can look back and say, man, that guy was training out in Thibodaux, and, you know, I worked in his group. And then the economic impact. You know, we went out to a local place to eat, and just to see people in there bringing the economic impact to it as well and putting Nichols on the map as far as on ESPN and having that kind of coverage for us, it's huge. And then the lineman camp, I mean, you have 700 kids here, and then the next thing you know, how many D1 guys you have on campus, you know, and so that's a big advantage, you know, for coach to be able to go around and see this going on and see these guys up close and personal. So those two camps, I mean, you mentioned them, they're phenomenal. You got the Pro Combine camp, that's another one, but just a phenomenal opportunity for Nichols to be a part of these kids' lives and for them to look back and say, hey, you know, I attended the lineman camp. You know, I did it myself in 98, and so my kid attended a couple of years ago, so it was kind of like passing the torch, and some of the same coaches have been there the whole time.
The ability to have, like, a Tim Rebo and, you know, because he's local, Destrehan, right? LSU grad, right? Playing against him tomorrow, and his first college job was here. But it is the stability. Four times, including last year, you go to the FCS playoffs. So you know it's going to be there. I'm not saying it's going to be for it, but just to have that stability there has got to mean a lot.
It means a lot. And, you know, to have that continuity here in football, Coach Rebo's been here, it's going on 10 years now, and he's had the same offense and defensive coordinator there the whole time. So just to have that continuity here at Nichols, that's huge. I mean, we don't always see that. We had guys come through here like Charles Kelly. You know, he ended up with Florida State as a defensive coordinator, and we had John Robinson was the GM of the Tennessee Titans. Those guys were on the staffs that I played for. Mickey Joseph was another one. So he had so many guys that would come through, but you could never keep that cohesiveness for more than 2 or 3 years. Tim Rebo was able to kind of keep that together for 10 years going now, so he really wants to be here.
And if you like Louisiana football, you will love Nichols' roster. Like 90, I mean, it is literally a who's who of Louisiana high school football names and schools that you'll see. 90-something like that.
93 players. Nobody does that in the state of Louisiana. Nobody does it in the country. So when you look at, you know, most Louisiana might say, well, you know, LSU is our team. Well, when you look at the roster and actually go up and down, when you got 93 players, there's only one team that can claim Louisiana, and that's the Colonels. You know, locally here in Thibodaux, you have 8 guys that play on the team. One guy's from Thibodaux High. You actually have 7 from E.D. White Catholic. And then at Destrehan, we talked about that, another winning program. We have 5 kids from Destrehan, 5 kids from John Curtis. You have 6 kids from Catholic of Baton Rouge. So that's that Baton Rouge connection there, including our linebacker, Hayden Shaheen. Mm-hmm.
When you look at just not we talked about it earlier, it being football season, but, you know, just some of the other sports, and you mentioned as well some of the success that they've had. What's an up-and-coming sport or, you know, that – hey, we know we're going to make our heyday with this sport, or you can see the growth in that sport outside of football and basketball?
I would say there's a lot of excitement around soccer. The kids love the soccer coach. She's one of those players' coaches that came in, and there's a lot of excitement around her. And the kids seem to – anytime there's a coach that the players want to play for and kind of go to bat for, you know it's going to be exciting. I think baseball is going to continue their success, but also what Coach Payne's doing with girls basketball. I mean, they finished 3rd last year. They're going to be in the hunt this year, you know, and he doesn't expect anything less than a championship. And that kind of starts from Tim Rebo, and it kind of boils down to every other sport.
As the director of the Colonels Athletic Association, similar to TAF, I mean, it's Lester Beam is still sitting here. I mean, it's a dollars and cents kind of thing, you know, for a lot of these schools. You're playing 5 of your first 6 football games on the road. You're playing these FCS schools, very close with Louisiana Tech last week, playing LSU tomorrow, and, you know, see what happens. But it's a different landscape, right?
It's a much different landscape. You know, just when you look at the scholarship count, that's about a 20 scholarship count difference when you play these schools. But no Tim Rebo team is going to take the field and just be happy to be there. You know, they're going to compete. And when you look at dollars and cents, you know, in the last 6 months, we raised $500,000 on just different events through CAA. Also, we do big membership pushes. We've got 2 big groups here, Huddle Up, with football, and also the coaches committee with baseball. And everybody's kind of jumping on board. Now we have a diamond club starting with softball, and we under par club with golf, and everybody wants to be a part of it, and they see that excitement that's going on. But when some people don't realize, when you go out there and you play and you look, you know, LSU's got a $204 million athletic budget. We're sitting at 9.6. But, hey, we're going to make it happen, and we're going to do more with less. And we proved that. We proved it in the classroom, 3.1 GPA. You got 450 student athletes across 17 sports. So that's first and foremost. That's what we look for. And there's no more important thing that you can see those students walk across the stage. As a former principal, I love to see it. I'm loving working with these guys now at the college level, and just being able to work with JT and see these kids graduate, come back. You know, you have former players now part of the program. Coach Payne was a player here himself. I was a coach here, a player here myself. JT was a player here. You know, you have several. Coach Helmers was a former player, and she's back. So when you have people that want to come back and want to be here, that's what makes the difference. It's all about the people.
Yeah, anytime that you can have an impact, not only from a team success standpoint, but from graduating, and now they can impact the community in a positive role, I think that's what it's all about.
Yes, sir.
This is a first tomorrow night. You played in 2001, 2005. What would you have given to play under the lights at Tiger Stadium against the Tigers when you were at Nichols?
I had one opportunity to play in Tiger Stadium. We played the East-West All-Star game, and I was hoping to play against Andrew Withward, and they didn't get that opportunity because he didn't play in the game. But Ronnie Prue did. But just to play against the best, you know, we know we're going in there and you're playing against a top 10 team in the FBS. Just to be there and to show up and say, hey, look, we belong to. And every kid on that team wants that opportunity to put out film and to show people, hey, look, I can do it, and I can do it against the best guys in the business. You know, and just to go back to recruiting a little bit, we talk about being local. But your quarterback's from Ohio, so it's not like Tim Rebo doesn't leave the state and, you know, get in his truck and travel and see what's out there. Starting tight ends out there from Pass Christian. We got our star defensive tackle, Mr. Lovelace, from Pensacola. And, you know, rumbling, stumbling, bumbling last week with a pick six, man. And I love to see him do in Tiger Stadium. I know we wouldn't get that eruption of Tiger faithful, but you'd hear that 6,000, maybe 7,000 sprinkled in there. You'd hear it loud enough, you know.
I love it.
I do, too. Well, congratulations. Thanks a lot for spending some time with us. Best of luck. Just, you know, it's a great atmosphere down here. I've always felt that way. I went to an FCS school, so the heck with them. You know, go out there and do what you can do. And, you know, we appreciate your time and just continued success.
Appreciate it. Go Colonels.
All right. Take a quick break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. That was Shane Kleber, the director of the Colonels Athletic Association, former player, talking about the big game tomorrow night, 6:30 Tiger Stadium. We're back after this, a special edition of Sports Talk. We're at the Rouse's, 1030 South Acadia Road. We'll be here until 6, but you can come on by after that. Get whatever you need for the weekend. Here on WWL. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We are at the Rouse's in Thibodeau, 1030 South Acadia until 6 o'clock. But come on by. They got lots of great deals of anything that you need. The store's only been open since 2019. This area has grown right across from Thibodeau Medical Regional Center. It's just beautiful, and they'll be in Baton Rouge tomorrow. Also, don't forget Magazine Pizza as well, dine-in delivery. They feed everybody at the station over the weekend for when we're having the game days. And so the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. It's magazinepizza.com. And we were talking with Jonathan Stewart, back with Deuce McAllister, and, you know, they went with three new kind of offensive linemen, and they went the Mississippi-Louisiana route. They got Damian Lewis. He was former LSU. He's from Canton, Mississippi.
Exit 119.
I knew you were gone. And so he is he's out of his fifth year, so they put him at left guard, so they get him new at left guard. They spent $150 million on their offensive line. They went Robert Hunt, free agent from Miami. He's from UL Lafayette. And then they moved Austin Corbett from right guard to center. So it's funny just because – so the Panthers have three new offensive linemen or a guy in a different position, and it's like their selling card. The Saints have three new offensive linemen, a new left guard, and two tackles playing not their position, and it's like, oh, my gosh, it's the biggest question mark in the world. But that is how these two teams fare is going to be how these two teams fare in the trenches.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I mean, from the vision of what Carolina is trying to do, you're trying to beef up the inside, the interior of your offensive line, and you move kind of a guy to the center position. But at the end of the day, you've got to be able to protect the quarterback. And for the Saints, you talk about flipping your tackles, and you know they're in new positions, but also you have a new left guard because the other one retired. And so the main two stays as far as your center and your right guard. And your right tackle has played in the NFL, but he played left tackle. And then your left guard has played in the NFL, you know, and he's been a guy that's played multiple positions. And so I think the team feels pretty good. Both teams feel pretty good about their offensive line, but both probably question their offensive line as well. I mean, because you don't know how Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis are going to fare, you know, as being new guards, because they are playing their first game together as well. And so that'll be something interesting to watch. Now, the left tackle struggled last year.
Ekwonu
struggled in, I guess that was year two, where he looked a lot better his first year. Last year it was regression big time, but the talent is there. The talent is definitely there for him, and the question is, can he kind of get his rookie year form as far as at the tackle position?
And this is obvious, but it's also crucial, and that is the Saints' ability to run the football.
For both teams.
For both teams. I mean, but we could say that every week, all the time, but for this offense and this Saints team right now, with this offensive line, it just feels like if you're in 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9 all the time, it's
not really going to be pretty.
It's right. It's just going to – you've got to – and I feel like the team has done everything they can do to get Trevor Penning in the right mental framework. He's done the work. He's the guy right now. It's, you know, go out, just give him some confidence, but he's got to go out and do it. You can't verbally give people confidence. They got to go out and do it.
I think it's repetitive action as well, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's had a lot of snaps.
Yeah, it's repetitive action for him as well, and then just trusting his it's really, from a confidence standpoint, trusting my technique. And so, you know, you can give me verbal all you want, but it's trusting his technique. That's really what when he gets in trouble, he doesn't trust his technique. And so he reverts back to some of the things that he's done and been able to get away with maybe from college days. And so it's a little bit different at this league. And so just trusting his technique, really. And it's not so much of, hey, I don't think I can do it in this league. You can do it. He can do it. He knows he can do it in this league. But am I going to do it where I put myself in the best situation to be successful? That's the question.
Do you don't have – I'm not similar, but not concerns either, but of the Saints defense in that same situation. The front, Colin Saunders, we kind of knew he was going to be out.
I do. I have concern about the Saints and their run defense.
Right.
I do. I mean, and that's just being honest. I have concern about the Saints and their run defense, and because I did not see it enough consistently last year. And so I don't know if, you know, and this is no knock against the rookie Boyd. You add Boyd, but I mean, Boyd's still a rookie.
Right. And a sixth rounder.
Yeah. Well, even if he was a first rounder, he's still a rookie.
Right.
And so I don't expect a rookie to step right in and be able to say, oh, I'm the answer to all your worries as far as the run game is concerned. So for me, for that defense, if they can prove and show that they can stop the run, everything else is in place.
Right.
You know, I have a lot less worry on the back end just because they're veterans. I've seen it. I know what you can do up front, particularly in the middle. I need to see it.
Right.
And I didn't see it enough consistently last year. So there is some concern there.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a bow on this. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We are live at the Rouse's in Thibodeau. Back after this on a special edition of Sports Talk. Welcome back. Just a couple of minutes left here. I want to thank Rouse's for everything. They've been awesome. The people of Thibodeau, always awesome. And tomorrow night, Nichols against LSU. And if you were in that number last night watching Kansas City and Baltimore, consider yourself a record. 28.9 million, the most ever to watch a regular season opener, NBC and Peacock. Deuce just shows you the power of the NFL, man. I mean, it's just, you know, the numbers are astonishing.
What is it? It's Peacock only tonight, right?
Yeah, Peacock only tonight.
Yeah, so it's Peacock only tonight. You have, what's the streaming Christmas? Which one is that?
Netflix.
Yeah, you've got Netflix that's gotten in the game.
Prime.
You know, you've got Prime Video that's in the game. Mike, we're going to be international for a couple years. I mean, I don't know where we're going international, but that's where the game is going.
Yep.
We already know from a streaming standpoint, you're already there. But you can always catch us.
Yeah, I mean, we're free.
You may be able to go and look at some of that other stuff on the tube, but you can catch us on the radio.
Right.
So,
that's right. Do that Sunday, please.
Don't worry about that. Catch us on Sunday. You can flirt with the other, maybe the TV stuff, but always keep us in mind.
And our coverage will begin at 8 o'clock Sunday morning, then 10 o'clock with the countdown, and then Deuce and I with the kickoff. And as we close, it's just real, finally, right? I mean, training camp was exciting. The preseason was exciting. But it's funny how fast the preseason gets shoved away when it gets real.
Here's the thing. For a lot of those guys, if you haven't had the experience, you're about to see how fast the game really is. The game is fast, and it's only going to get faster. I mean, because some people may be upset of one of the comments that Coach Allen made. It's about adjustments. Because you don't know. It's about adjustment. Who can adjust to what they're doing and maybe what they haven't seen or hadn't seen a lot? Who can adjust the best? Now, talent will always win, but adjustment will play a part as well.
We shall see. Sunday, my thanks to everybody again from Rouse's, Charlie Long in the booth, Luke Augusta, DePaul Smith, the great, legendary Deuce McAllister. It is football for real, high school football tonight. Be careful out there. Roads are wet. Thanks for listening, everybody. The Brian Kelly Show is up next. Welcome back, Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We are at the Rouses in Thibodaux, 10:30 South Acadia until 6 o'clock. But come on by. They got lots of great deals of anything that you need. The store's only been open since 2019. This area has grown. We're right across from Thibodaux Medical Regional Center. It's just beautiful, and they'll be in Baton Rouge tomorrow. Also, don't forget, Magazine Pizza as well, dine-in delivery. They feed everybody at the station over the weekend when we're having the game days. And so the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. It's magazinepizza.com. And we were talking with Jonathan Stewart back with Deuce McAllister. And, you know, they went with three new kind of offensive linemen. And they went the Mississippi-Louisiana route. They got Damian Lewis. He was former LSU. He's from Canton, Mississippi.
Exit 119.
I knew you were going. And so he is the he's out of his fifth year. So they put him at left guard. So they got him new at left guard. They spent $150 million on their offensive line. They went Robert Hunt, free agent from Miami. He's from UL Lafayette. And then they moved Austin Corbett from right guard to center. So it's funny just because – so the Panthers have three new offensive linemen or a guy in a different position. And it's like their selling card. The Saints have three new offensive linemen, a new left guard, and two tackles playing not their position. And it's like, oh, my gosh, it's the biggest question mark in the world. But that is how these two teams fare is going to be how these two teams fare in the trenches.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I mean, from the vision of what Carolina is trying to do, you're trying to beef up the inside, the interior of your offensive line, and you move kind of a guy to the center position. But at the end of the day, you've got to be able to protect the quarterback. And for the Saints, you talk about flipping your tackles, and you know they're in new positions, but also you have a new left guard because the other one retired. And so the main two stays as far as your center and your right guard. And your right tackle has played in the NFL, but he played left tackle. And then your left guard has played in the NFL, you know, and he's been a guy that's played multiple positions. And so I think the team feels pretty good. Both teams feel pretty good about their offensive line, but both probably question their offensive line as well. I mean, because you don't know how Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis are going to fare, you know, as being new guards, because they are playing their first game together as well. And so that'll be something interesting to watch. Now, the left tackle struggled last year.
Ekwonu struggled
in, I guess that was year two, where he looked a lot better his first year. Last year, it was regression big time. But the talent is there. The talent is definitely there for him. And the question is, can he kind of get his rookie year form as far as at the tackle position?
And this is obvious, but it's also crucial. And that is the Saints' ability to run the football.
For both teams.
For both teams. I mean, but we could say that every week all the time. But for this offense and this Saints team right now, with this offensive line, it just feels like if you're in 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9 all the time, it's
not really going to be pretty.
It's right. It's just going to – you've got to – and I feel like the team has done everything they can do to get Trevor Penning in the right mental framework. He's done the work. He's the guy right now. It's, you know, go out, just give him some confidence, but he's got to go out and do it. You can't verbally give people confidence. They got to go out and do it.
I think it's repetitive action as well, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's had a lot of snaps.
Yeah, it's repetitive action for him as well, and then just trusting his it's really, from a confidence standpoint, trusting my technique. And so, you know, you can give me verbal all you want, but it's trusting his technique. That's really what when he gets in trouble, he doesn't trust his technique. And so he reverts back to some of the things that he's done and been able to get away with maybe from college days. And so it's a little bit different at this league. And so just trusting his technique, really. And it's not so much of, hey, I don't think I can do it in this league. You can do it. He can do it. He knows he can do it in this league. But am I going to do it where I put myself in the best situation to be successful? That's the question.
Do you don't have – I'm not similar, but not concerns either, but of the Saints defense in that same situation. The front, Colin Saunders, we kind of knew he was going to be out. I do.
I have concern about the Saints and their run defense.
Right.
I do. I mean, and that's just being honest. I have concern about the Saints and their run defense, and because I did not see it enough consistently last year. And so I don't know if, you know, and this is no knock against the rookie Boyd. You add Boyd, but I mean, Boyd's still a rookie.
Right. and a sixth rounder.
Yeah, well, even if he was a first rounder, he's still a rookie. Right. And so I don't expect a rookie to step right in and be able to say, oh, I'm the answer to all your worries as far as the run game is concerned. So for me, for that defense, if they can prove and show that they can stop the run, everything else is in place.
Right.
You know, I have a lot less worry on the back end just because they're veterans. I've seen it. I know what you can do up front, particularly in the middle. I need to see it.
Right.
And I didn't see it enough consistently last year. So there is some concern there.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a bow on this. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We are live at the Rouses in Thibodeau. Back after this on a special edition of Sports Talk. Welcome back. Just a couple of minutes left here. I want to thank Rouses for everything. They've been awesome. The people of Thibodeau, always awesome. And tomorrow night, Nichols against LSU. And if you were in that number last night watching Kansas City and Baltimore, consider yourself a record. 28.9 million, the most ever to watch a regular season opener, NBC and Peacock. Deuce just shows you the power of the NFL, man. I mean, it's just, you know, the numbers are astonishing.
What is it? It's Peacock only tonight, right?
Yeah,
is
Peacock only tonight.
Yeah, so it's Peacock only tonight. You have, what's the streaming Christmas? Which one is that?
Netflix.
Yeah, you've got Netflix that's gotten in the game.
Prime.
You know, you've got Prime Video that's in the game. Mike, we're going to be international for a couple years. I mean, I don't know where we're going international, but that's where the game is going.
Yep.
We already know from a streaming standpoint, you're already there. But you can always catch us.
Yeah, I mean, we're free.
You may be able to go and look at some of that other stuff on the tube, but you can catch us on
that's
the radio.
Right.
So,
that's right. Do that Sunday, please.
Don't worry about that. Catch us on Sunday. You can flirt with the other, maybe the TV stuff, but always keep us in mind.
And our coverage will begin at 8 o'clock Sunday morning, then 10 o'clock with the countdown, and then Deuce and I with the kickoff. And as we close, it's just real, finally, right? I mean, training camp was exciting. The preseason was exciting. But it's funny how fast the preseason gets shoved away when it gets real.
Here's the thing. For a lot of those guys, if you haven't had the experience, you're about to see how fast the game really is. The game is fast, and it's only going to get faster. I mean, because some people may be upset of one of the comments that Coach Allen made. It's about adjustments. Because you don't know. It's about adjustment. Who can adjust to what they're doing and maybe what they haven't seen or hadn't seen a lot? Who can adjust the best? Now, talent will always win, but adjustment will play a part as well.
We shall see. Sunday, my thanks to everybody again from Rouses, Charlie Long in the booth, Luke Augusta, DePaul Smith, the great, legendary Deuce McAllister. It is football for real. High school football tonight. Be careful out there. Roads are wet. Thanks for listening, everybody. The Brian Kelly Show is up next.